Now, I've got Ryan Griffin with me, who not only came up with the concept and writes the show, but assisted with the production as well to be created with his vision in mind. Good afternoon, Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
No worries. Great to have you in the studio. Clever man, look, it's been going for 5 weeks. I mean, everyone's on tenterhooks. The final's on tomorrow night. You know, it's really been building up, hasn't it? Like, I feel like it's sort of a burner that's just been growing and growing every week, trying to figure out what's happening, you know? And I'm not going to get any spoilers from you, but yeah, how excited are you for the final tomorrow night?
Yeah, look, it's been a big journey. I think it's interesting for me to watch the show with people live tweeting. Like, that's an experience that I haven't sort of had before.
Yeah.
And just seeing, you know, people slowly catching up to certain hooks or twists that we put into the show and seeing their reaction live, which is great.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm really excited to get to this six, because for me, I essentially see this first six as an origin story. You know, like you see all those superhero movies, you've got that 5-minute montage of being good at stuff and then sucking and then, you know, owning their powers. Essentially, I see that our first six is that. So, you know, we get to sort of jump off to bigger and better things for the next six.
Yeah, that's exciting too. We'll talk about that later for sure. But this show, I guess it's something that when you would have spruced it to whoever, you've told them about this indigenous superhero story that you've come up with. Did you get a lot of people just looking at you going, a bit strange, mate, really? Is this something that's going to fly? You know, did you get anyone, or was everyone really embracing of it?
I think most people embrace it straight off the bat. You know, cool. Like, I think, you know, early on it was originally a kids show.
Yeah.
And the more that we developed it, the more that we realized that we need to age it up, you know, to stay true to dreaming stories. Dreaming stories are quite brutal,
yeah.
So we had to constantly age it up so it could fit. You know, we couldn't have kids being killed at, you know, 9:30 in the morning.
Sure.
But, you know, once we aged it up, we felt comfortable with where we were, and we just got to really jump into that world. So I think people really grasped that idea. Like, you know, knowing that we have, you know, 60,000 years of stories that we're going to put into a modern context, they really, like, embrace straight away.
And that's great. I'm so happy that they did, because it is a show that I don't see as been anything like this before. You know, it really feels like it's broken a mold and people have connected with it, and like you say, 60,000 years of stories, this is just one of them that you know we're basically getting to be a part of. And I think people should appreciate that, because of course getting those stories and finding out these stories was a real trek for you. I read about this 8-hour trek to sit in a riverbed for 4 hours learning about these stories and getting permission to actually tell them. How was that trip for you, like, personally?
Yeah, look, I think just generally going out to speak to community is always an amazing experience. You know, I grew up in the city, so sort of going back to country or going to other communities is an honour, especially when you've got elders who are going to sit down and tell you the stories.
Yeah.
The one that you're talking about, I travelled up all the way to Katherine in the middle of the NT and spoke to an elder there, Tommy Lewis, who gave me the story of the Namorador, the creature that's in the show. He gave me the story on the song lines of where the stories are told. So not just, you know, he could have just told me, you know, I met him in Melbourne, I met him again in Brisbane, but, you know, to actually be handed the story over, he waited to tell me the right place at the right time. So moments like that are real, you know, real special. And I think that's what makes this show work is getting those parts of culture from the heart and putting them in on the page and then on the screen. That's what makes us different.
Yeah. And we were talking about song lines earlier this afternoon, actually, to Zoe from the NCIE, and just how song lines in the Indigenous community are such a big thing. And it's just awesome that everyone else who aren't Indigenous, get to experience that and watch it from the outside and be a part of that. And this show, I feel, is part of that. We're being exposed to these stories that otherwise we may not have ever seen.
Yeah, I think that was our number one thing with this show. You know, like, putting it into a sci-fi or a superhero world sort of knocks down a lot of those barriers and makes our culture a little bit more accessible to people that don't understand. You know, like, there are black fellas who are still learning our own culture. So, you know, we get to sort of go on the journey with not only them, but, you know, our characters share the same sort of journey as well. So, you know, I think the more that we can just tap into parts of our culture and not sort of make it, you know, a big fist in the air, but something that's entertaining at the same time, I think that's when it's going to be more accessible for other people.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you've got a great cast on this. I mean, people who haven't seen it, you've got Jack Charles, Hannah Paige Lockhart, Rob Collins, Ian Glenn from Game of Thrones, of course, Deborah Mailman, Francis O'Connor, Steph Dawson, no, Tyson Towney, who's one of the main characters, I reckon, and he's been amazing. Like, I'm sure you'll get a lot of roles out of this because he's been pretty much one of the prime characters in the show. Now, Tyson's, of course, is a character who's... his family is basically getting kidnapped, and he's a pretty aggressive guy, but, you know, I can see underneath that he's just passionate about his family and he just wants to protect them. But yeah, how did you find this cast? Like, you know, you've got such a wide array of talent, you know, was everyone just keen to jump on board?
Yeah, look, this is something that we worked really closely with one of the directors, Wayne Blair. We sat down and we really wanted to find, new faces, new black faces that we can put on the screen. You know, we have an amazing pool of actors,
yeah.
But it's a small pool. And I think the more that we get shows like this, we can grow other people just like Tyson.
Mm.
But you know, Tyson and Rob Collins, they're both sort of new to the screen. You know, these are their first shots at primetime television, and they absolutely smash it out of the park. And I think it is. A part of it is the stories that we're telling. You know, like when we go to set, not only the cast but the crew were just passionate about what they were making.
Yeah.
You know, there was an energy, you know, that was about the set that really shines on screen. You know, we had the inexperienced people being held up by the experienced ones, and that went, you know, both ways. You know, everyone was learning at different stages of this production, and yeah. I think I'm just excited to see where we can keep pushing these people.
Well, that's right. You've, of course, been renewed for season two, which is starting pre-production soon. Most of this, all same cast, all coming back?
Yeah, look, I've literally just come from the writer's room to here. So we're sitting there. We've got about four or five scripts, you know, set.
Cool.
A lot of character turns to come, I think. You know, like I said, we really set up the world and the origin of this show in the first six,
yeah.
And now we really get to get into the emotion of the characters. So I'm really excited to see where people like Tyson and all that can go.
Yeah, for sure. Of course, this has been aired over overseas as well. What sort of reaction have you had from America, and is it been shown in Europe as well?
It's only aired in the US at the moment.
Okay, yep.
We have the UK going in September.
Okay, yep.
It's amazing to see the reactions from the States. Again, you know, we've got a really good following. Like, we've got a real core fan base that you know jump on Twitter every time and live tweet the shows, and like I said, it's just amazing to see the reactions. You know, each country that we take this show to, like we've taken it took it to France, we took it to Germany for some of our premieres.
Mm-hmm.
And they all attach themselves to it in a different way. Some see a refugee crisis. Some others just like to look at the sci-fi. Some ask more questions about, you know, Aboriginal culture. So
yeah.
It's just good to see that everyone's connecting to it on a different level.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Oh, fantastic. Well done with it. Final episode tomorrow night, coinciding with NAIDOC week. That's pretty cool. Was that a planned thing?
No, look, it was interesting, you know. Like, and we aired during Reconciliation Week,
yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's just a nice little fit, and you know, I think it's just a great way to sort of celebrate black excellence in this country.
Definitely, ABC tomorrow night, and you can catch them all on iView as well. I think all the episodes are still there.
Yeah, so absolutely.
You can catch up before tomorrow night. Ryan, thanks for coming down.
No, thanks for having me.
Ryan Griffin, creator of Clever Man, down here in the studio having a chat about it.